to be thinking about and be praying about, don't we? Let's bow together. Dear Father in heaven, we just thank you for being our God and being there for us. Dear Father, we ask you to give us strength and help and ability to reach out and to help those that are in need everywhere, but especially in this storm area. We think today of the people there and their needs. We pray, dear Father, that you would bless and strengthen all of us as we labor. And we just thank you, dear God, for giving us the ability to reach out and help and show your love. Dear Father, we think of those in our own congregations that are dealing with sickness and difficult situations. We pray your blessings on them as well. Dear Father, we ask you to be with this country. Help us, dear Father, to turn back to you. We pray, dear Father, for the upcoming elections. We pray that the right people might be placed in office that could lead this nation in the way that it needs to go. We ask you, dear Father, to watch over us through today and through our time of study and worship. We pray, dear Father, that you would give us the ability to do what you have for us to do. And we just thank you for all your goodness. We ask you to forgive us where we fail you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here's a joke for today. I miss the good old days when bills didn't have my name on them. Today we're in Judges chapter 6. We're going to be thinking of Gideon, God's man. After the children of Israel had entered into the promised land, they went through cycles of obeying God and disobeying God. And one of those cycles is coming around as we begin studying about a man named Gideon. And after they had peace for 40 years, then it says the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because the Midianites, the children, made themselves dens, the caves, and strongholds which were in the mountain. In other words, they were hiding. They just had to hide. It was so terrible. And so it was whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, and also the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. And they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth so far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. For they would come up against, they would come up with their livestock, their tents, and coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So it was a very difficult time for Israel in those days. In fact, in verse 6, it tells us that Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel who said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt. I brought you out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppress you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. So because of their disobedience, they are suffering severely. And it was that point where a man named Gideon has a visit. Verse 11, it says, and now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the tamarisk tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in a winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? And now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. So he just is very open about all of his frustrations and all of his sorrows that's come upon them to the Lord. And that's the wonderful thing about the Lord, is he is big enough that we can tell him how things are from our perspective. And notice the response. And then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of Midian, of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? And so he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. So he feels like he is the very, 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 very bottom rung. And he feels like that there's no way he can do anything to make a difference. Oftentimes we feel that way in life. And that's where he was at this time. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. And he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk to me. Don't depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come back. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of barley, of wheat. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the tamarisk tree and presented them. And the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay it on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand, and he touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. So now Gideon has an assignment. He knows it has come from God. And he now is in a position to respond. Verse 22, it says, "And now Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. And so Gideon said, 'Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face.' And the Lord said to him, 'Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die.' So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, 'The Lord is peace.'" To this day, it's still in Orpha of the Abizarites. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, "Take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement. And take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood from the image which you have cut down." So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. And then the men of the city arose early in the morning, and there was the altar of Baal torn down, the wooden image that was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was being offered on the altar which had been built. So they said to one another, "Who's done this thing?" And they inquired, and they asked, and they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing." And then the men of the city said to Joash, "Bring out your son that he may die, because he has torn down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the wooden image that was beside it." But Joash said to all who stood against him, "Would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who would plead for him be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him plead for himself, because his altar has been torn down." Therefore, on that day, they called him Jerubbaal, saying, "Let Baal plead against him, because he has torn down his altar." Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east gathered together, and they crossed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and then he blew the trumpet, and the Abizarites gathered behind him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, and also gathered behind him. He also sent messages to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came to meet him. So Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. And if there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I will know you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said." And so it was when he arose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but all the ground, let there be dew." And God did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece, but there was dew on all the ground. So he has had his evidence now. He's trying to build up his confidence. And then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.' Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead.'" 22,000 of the people returned, 10,000 remained. The Lord said to Gideon, "The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. And then it will be that of whom I say to you, 'This one shall go with you,' the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, 'This one shall not go with you,' the same shall not go." So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, anyone who gets down on his knees to drink, and the number of those who lap, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'By the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, and every man to his place.' So the people took provisions and the trumpets in their hands, and they sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. And it happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down, go down to the camp and take Pura your servant with you. And you shall hear what they say. And afterward, your hands will be strengthened to go down against the camp.' So he went down with Pura his servant to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east were lying in the valley, as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as the sand of the sea by the seashore in multitude. Then Gideon had come. There was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, "I had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian, and it came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed." His companion answered and said, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." So this encouraged him, as the Lord had said that it would. In fact, it goes on and makes the point that when Gideon heard this, the telling of the dream and its interpretation, that he worshipped and returned to the camp of Israel and arose, for the Lord had delivered the camp, and said, "Arise, for the Lord had delivered the camp of Midian into your hand." So then he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand, and an empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, "Look at me and do likewise. Watch. And when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me. Then you shall blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And so Gideon and the 100 who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. This would be about 10 p.m., the time of day when that would take place. So everybody by now would be settled down and asleep, most likely. And just as they had posted the watch, they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew their trumpets and broke the pitchers. And they held the torches in their left hand and the trumpet in their right hand for blowing. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army ran and cried out and fled. And when the 300 blew their trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. And the army fled to Beth Achaia and to Zarephath, as far as the borders of Abel Mithah and Tabitha. And so the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali and Asher and all Manasseh and pursued the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout the mountains of Ephraim, calling more people down to come and help. And so there was a great victory by a simple process of simply following the Lord's instructions and doing as he requested. And this was how Gideon was able to deliver the people from the Midianites. And God is there for us today. And it's our job to lean upon him and to look to him for guidance and for help as we also face our challenges and our situations. And we need him absolutely every day. This, along with so many other illustrations of God's power over the needs for his people, and his love and his help, is such a blessing for us today. And I'm grateful that we could share that with one another at this time. Would you close with me in a word of prayer? Dear Father in heaven, we just thank you for being such a wonderful God. We thank you for all your blessings. We thank you, dear Father, that you give us strength and help in serving you. And we thank you, dear Father, that today we can remember back to great events like the one we've studied here today. And we pray, dear Father, that you would help us look forward to opportunities where we can serve you and make a great difference as well. Thank you for all your goodness and all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.